Like I said, presumably it's going to be a different presentation. If it's not, sorry, it just means I don't remember what I wrote then. I couldn't find the documents, I just took it off my blog and sent it out. Whenever, Baruch Hashem. So, I have a blog, I haven't been putting on it for a very long time, actually. To be more organized. I didn't really write, either. I put on like 1,000 or 1,500 stories at least, I don't know exactly how many. I was writing for Dafayomi, and they said, you do whatever you want with the material, just don't write it on the daf like you do for us, but the stories or the halachas that you're writing, you can do what you want with it. So I posted whenever I felt like it. I always had 7 pieces every week for, I don't know, whatever, I worked for them for 6.5 years or something. And then I moved to somewhere else, and he said, no, actually, I'll post your stuff on my, you know, he didn't want to give me permission. So it's posted, but it's not my, I can't just take you do what I want with it, I guess. Maybe he would let me, I'm not sure. I didn't get into it. So it got less, got petered out, kind of. And everything is the way it's supposed to be. Maybe I'll be zochah to write for it. We'll see. After the Shema. I posted a few Ben Ish Chais from last year, like, not this year, like, but I just didn't. I went through the, everything we're learning now, I did already. But I just didn't, I taped some, I didn't tape some. Oh, Hashem. Everything has a time, everything has the way it's supposed to be. Yeah, this was, that's just the way it is. Okay. So.
Can you link it off the Jerusalem?
Yeah, it could also be. Like I said, I should link. I'm not the most. Until I found it, it took me a few days to like, open it up and find it, copy it, and send it. So that wasn't too bad. Found the email, but oh, now I can do it. Just do it, because otherwise I'll do it after the Shabbat. That's too late. You just sent it off and goodbye. But now we're going to do hopefully a different Mahalas.
Well, people are still downloading posts I did from all the holidays every single year.
Excellent.
You know, so if you want to send something over for Tisha B'Av, not for Tisha B'Av, that's fine. I'll just get it for next Tisha B'Av.
Well, you'll have this. Maybe you'll put it up. Or, you know, you'll put it up next year or whatever it is, it is. You'll certainly do better than I. Because for me, it's like, unfortunately, it's just not going to happen, I don't think. Because I see that the Garden of Purity is out. Look like English says it's called the Garden of Purity. I guess they put it out and they hope it's not for that, not for people. What do you do? Everyone. A lot of special stuff there. I didn't write that. Mubarak wrote that.
Oh.
Yeah.
The Garden of Purity.
Yeah. It's supposed to be something special. That's what they tell me.
Isn't that a translation of British Shalom?
Mm-hmm. Correct. That's correct. Okay. Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos. You cannot learn Torah. Only things that are permitted on Tisha B'Av. If it's Shabbos, some say you can, some say you didn't, you can't. He said you certainly can rely on those who are lenient. I also rely on those who are lenient in terms of Shabbos. Now, during a weekday, one thing's for sure, Erev Tisha B'Av,
which is tomorrow,
if you're not going to learn other the bad stuff or whatever you call it, which we'll see in a minute what that is, so then if you can't do it, so don't not learn. Don't say, well, I'm not learning the Fiyomi, I'm not allowed. So I'll just like, you know, chat with some friends. Like that. It's no less problematic. So it's supposed to be that you're supposed to focus on the morning. If you can't do that, so then it's not supposed to be a way out of doing what you're supposed to do. So that's the you know. Yeah. So it's supposed to be more. I'm supposed to feel the morning tomorrow after midday. If I don't feel that, so then at least I can learn. The Chofetz Chaim, although he doesn't write this in the Mishnah Berurah, every year in Radin there was a petek. He would put a note up on the wall. He would say, even though you're not allowed to learn today, except for certain things. Someone who knows that he's just going to waste a day, he's going to take a trip, he's going to hang out with his friends, he's going to joke around, he just cannot get into the morning of the day. He's not going to do it. He's not holding by it for whatever reason. But if he was allowed to learn regular learning, he would learn with diligence. You can learn, and as it were, punishment's on me. That's real. I take responsibility for the yeshiva. Now, he didn't do that for everyone. He didn't write to the Mishnah Berurah at all. But we do have such a rigid thing that sometimes you're not holding by it. You're not holding by it. There's no way to. So what should you do? Play water fights? That's better than learning. That's less problematic. It's much more problematic. You have to know where you're holding. But certainly, Erev Tisha B'Av, if you need to, you can learn everything.
Can I post things like Wasbush, the Holocaust, Arab atrocities?
You can. Yeah, you can. I mean, First of all ethical works, generally speaking, are okay to learn, unless they're explaining fascinating and beautiful ideas about verses. But either things that were things to this effect, but if things are like Tachasik doing tshuva and trying to connect to the spirit of the day, if it's a Kutel Lachos or if it's whatever it may be, unless it's going to be these beautiful, wondrous, like Jerusalem, you really say, wow, just blown away, and not moved only, but also blown away by the wonder of it, that's not so simple. But you can learn Rosh Hashanah, and one can learn also Tisha B'Av, Rosh Tisha B'Av, and you can learn Lichsi Nisabeli, you can learn Musa, you can learn Mitzvah Shor, you can learn, there's a lot of works that one can learn. It's not, it doesn't have to be Eov or, you know, whatever it will be. But everyone has to know themselves what works for us.
There's a vibe, actually, from Jerusalem. I haven't.
Sounds very special. Who knows? If it's possible. Shem Yatzor. Zofet. Feel the light of Tisha B'Av. It's not easy. My dad for sure knows where I went. Okay. So during this meal, you're not allowed to have two dishes. Even one type. Fried egg, poached eggs, hard-boiled eggs. No. Too much. You can have one thick, one thin. Even that, really, it's called two tafshilim. You can't even do that. And even if you can eat it raw, so well, it's enough cooked because I could eat it. It's all raw apples. So baked apples is no, it's problematic. Even if you make it still one, it's also called the top shell.
Are you talking about things you didn't eat before Tisha B'Av?
He's talking, that's separate. What he's talking about now is the meal before Tisha B'Av called Tisha B'Av Sekis. There are a few different ways of handling. So what do you do? So one way, you could have a lot of bread and butter. I mean, you could do that. That's not a full option. Another way is you could eat an earlier meal and then have a little, just make sure you have enough space for a little bit of bread, maybe a hard-boiled egg, and that's just an obsequious. You need enough. You can't not eat enough because of Tisha B'Av. That's not the idea at all. But on the other hand, we have to try to limit as much as possible. We'll see why in a minute, right, Brian? We'll see a little bit about why. This meal. He's going to say that even jam, it's a chiddush. Make this date jam, Silwan. He said, that's called a cooked dish. It's pretty amazing. Now, today, I don't know if we probably wouldn't say that. You cook it right away, it's not as fresh. I assume now. I don't know. Can you mix things? Can you with one dish? People all ordinarily do it. You have rice with lentils. That's okay, he says. That's the normal way of doing it. You said, but rice with eggs, since you don't mix them, is a problem. You said, you can have as much fruit as you like. Yogurt's okay, he says. Even though you cook it up, it's not called official. He said, it's proper, though, to limit what you have in this meal. Again, the easiest way, maybe, the simplest way of dealing with it is you just have a, right before Tisha B'Av, you have this tiny little meal, you know, a little bread, egg, get the bread and ashes, you're done. You ate whatever you needed to eat so that you're okay for the fast. You can make water, you can have whatever you need to have, but maybe you should make a, you know, seventh course dinner, so not, you know, not, it won't have to be cooked. So I have fruit, and another fruit platter, salad, he says, salad's not proper. What are you doing? This is not a joyous time. This is not a great time at all. He said, if you have also cheese, if you cooked it, that's it. That's your only thing. He said, you should really try to limit whatever you have during this meal. The custom among Ashkenazi is that you sit on the floor in this meal and you say, this is the suit of Tisha B'Av. Your ashes, dip ashes into what you're eating. He says, it's interesting, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, You're not supposed to have a limited amount of food. You should have a lot of food. A lot of different types and beautify. And here we come to Tisha B'Av, you're not supposed to have a lot, but what does it mean? You know, on a simple level, what do you mean? Here you're celebrating, here you're limited. But there's a deeper element. Rabbi Nachman says that a person doesn't feel taste in his food, he said that he's distant from Hashem. Because when tasting the food, there's a little bit of a spark in there that you're supposed to pick up. That's the purpose of the taste. He said that's what it really is. There's a spiritual content to the food. That's what really, really tasting. That's why when the person's taste buds are messed up, he's got something, it's harder for him to pick up the spark. So he's got a problem he's got to deal with. So now, he says, during this time, it's not so easy to look to the sparks. It's not easy. This is everything is constricted. So, this is therefore, we have one dish of a little bit, our Shabbos a lot, because now is the time we can pick everything up, and during the Tisha B'Av, that's not what we do. He said the custom is to eat an egg specifically during this meal, because that's what mourners eat, an egg. An egg, first of all, it doesn't have a mouth. It's smooth, it's round, because everything goes around, it's go around. The Renaissance is very fascinating. The idiom here is, it's very, very, very deep. So you have a bechina, which is the egg. He said, an egg, you know, it holds a lot of hope, as it were. It represents that there's going to be, things are going to change. That's how Renaissance says. Very, very simple. He says a lot, lot more. But just to put things very simply, he says things have to be changing. Things that they are in, you don't see what's happening. It looks one way, and really it's something else. That's how Renaissance explains this bechina. He says, so it represents this idea of, it takes 21 days. It takes 21 days to form an egg. Right? It says that's 21 days now. The 21 days of Beinu Mitzrayim. So 21 days we have. So I have 21 days. Yeah. That's why. There's a tree called the luz. This luz, the Gemara tells us, whatever, or maybe it represents something. It certainly represents something. Maybe it only represents something. I don't know. It says it also, the Gemara says, there's two things. An egg takes 21 days, and this luz takes 21 days. So he says, you see the luz, he says, the luz to the luz is, there's a little bone. We've spoken about before. Little bone, and again, what is this bone? What does it mean? Kaplan suggests possibly some part of DNA. I don't know. He says he doesn't know, and certainly I don't know. But whatever this luz is, whatever it may be, whatever it is, this luz, whatever you might say, whatever I might say it is, the luz bone represents this hope. On the one hand, it's just this one thing. That's how Renaissance tries to explain. That's what he says. He says this one thing entirely. He says this is the kind of the egg and everything's going around with all these different elements. He said in the end, it's going to change. Things are going to shift and change. And therefore, the egg represents those 21 days we're filled with hope. It's tikva. It's filled with a lot of hope. Where we want to rebuild the base of knowledge, we have a lot of hope. We're hoping things are going to get better. That's what we're hoping for. And we know things are going to get better. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know. But that's the first thing that we have to keep in mind. That's number one. So, it's not by accident that we're taking an egg. So you have to be careful, and this is a long piece about it, to be careful not to have hopes for stupid things. This holds out. My team will win. He's very patient, but that's not a holy thing. Sometimes he's waiting, a person waiting for something, and he wants something, and it's not going to really help him. It's not going to be positive. He forgot about Hashem. He put Hashem out of his life. So what's going to, how am I going to be helped? How am I going to be picked up? How am I going to be assisted? Really, to Hashem. Connecting to Hashem, being better. She doesn't really care right now. I want my pizza. I want my Mercedes Benz. I'm saving everything. My Mercedes. I'll get it eventually. I'll this, I'll that. That's not what it's about. That's not what we're here for. That's part of what these days are, to remind ourselves, to remember, we're here for a purpose. We have a mission. Are we doing the mission? Who knows what we're doing? Well, it's time to start maybe changing direction, maybe focusing more, maybe bringing to tshuva. So that's the aspect of the egg, is this bechina of hoping. That's what Moses says. This bechina of hoping. You have to be willing to suffer. So you have to be willing to suffer and wait and hope. And wait and hope until we get what we want. So we have to be careful. It shouldn't be a hope for a nonsense. Then I'll get whatever he wants. I'll finally do this, convince this, do that. Well, what about Hashem? Unfortunately, very often we forget Hashem completely. It's like unbelievable. It's very, very easy. The repetitor says, so you say in the davening, Friday night davening, it's Behem lo yodu drochai. They didn't know my way. For the 2 or 4 years, they didn't know my way. They didn't know my ways. They didn't know my ways. They didn't know my ways. So the Rebbe says, you know, heim, like in English, heim means home. It says home. When you're at home, lo yodu drochai. Unfortunately, people very often, they get going after all the stupidest things in the world, and they forget Hashem completely. You come back to yeshiva, you come back to kol, you come back to yeshiva, wherever you go, and you're like, whoa, where in the world was I? Like waking up. What happened to me? I'm like, what is nonsense? What's going on? When am I gonna bring the light into the house? Because it's very easy. You gotta get, first of all, flee. Because if you're gonna stay at home, it's not so good. So the Indian here is like this. The Indian here is that we have to realize, I want to remember Hashem, I want to know Hashem, I want to do Hashem's ways, His will, and what I want, and what I do, and who I really am. And it's very, very, very easy. It's the easiest thing to do. Gemara says, acquiring Torah is like buying silver, gold, it's like expensive. Losing Torah, it's like glass. Glass slips 1 second to buy. So, I mean, what does that mean? Like, generally speaking, so it depends how much you review. I mean, losing Torah, remember Torah, how much do you review it? How much do you work on it? So easy to lose it. So losing means the connection and the connection to Hashem to the Torah. It's not just you remember this halacha, you don't remember that halacha. You have to be connected. We have to be connected through the halacha, through the Torah. So that connection is hard to gain and very easy to lose. Very, very, very easy to lose. And a big part of this holiday, Tisha B'Av, is the fact that it's so easy to lose and we don't even notice. We have to mourn and care to say, why am I not rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? Why am I losing my connection so much, so quick, so easy? It's like they're free for me. Okay, no problem. So that's not so smart. Because it makes such a tremendous difference. Everything makes such a difference. How can I not grab hold of whatever I can? I have so much clock. Why don't I use it? Try to use it. Okay. So chappetz, during this meal, don't sit on your usual place. Sit on something between you and the ground, but you sit on something on the ground, really. A piece of soil, you're not supposed to sit literally on the ground. The ground represents really bad things. So sit on a little something off the ground. Feel like a board or something, even if it's not a tepachai. 3 people should not sit together at this meal. There shouldn't be a kfias. We don't want there to be any permanence. Usually when you have 3 people dominating together, like benching together, sorry, so there's something called a kfias. 3 people who judge, they're bezdin. It's a kfias, it's a permanence, there's a sense of permanence. Someone needs to get rid of a nether, and you made a valve accident somehow. In some cases, you can go to 3 people and they'll get rid of it. The problem is you need to know when you can and when you can't, so that's a little problem. But assuming you know, so you can just nullify it, combine 3 people, 1 person, it's really too little. Very great, maybe count a couple stages at least. You can't get rid of it. So, we don't want permanence, he says. Permanence? You don't want permanence. So this is mourning. We want the rebuilding. We don't want to stay in the state where we're in now. We're in a very, very hidden state. This is at that time, when time comes, we'll eat this meal with joy. But we're in a very hidden state. We don't know. So the author of Kelam says something very, very powerful. He says, you know, you have to realize that everything is exactly calibrated. He says, think of Yosef HaTzadik. What happened to Yosef? Yosef told his father about his the other brothers. He said they made certain errors, and that they weren't good doing good things. He said that they were denigrating the other brothers, okay, the children of the maidservants. He said that they were not acting appropriately with the women around them. He said that they were eating Eben Menachai. Eating Eben Menachai. So then what, like, serious prohibitions? Then they weren't really doing exactly that. They were doing whatever else they were doing. The Maral says Yosef felt it was inappropriate what they were doing. They were sort of speaking to the women and doing comments. They weren't doing anything inappropriate. But he said, it's not proper for you. From his level, the Maral has a whole long discussion. What each thing, what he did, what didn't he do, what did they do, what didn't they do, what did Yosef think, what did Yosef think. But the bottom line is, what happened to Yosef? Yosef gets sold as a slave. What happens? So, on the one hand, Yosef is punished for talking against his brothers. On the other hand, his father is punished because he didn't do keep it out of the hand. He was in love and he had to find a way to somehow honor his parents. I don't know what that means. Does that mean he had to run out of there? That he could have gotten out of there somehow? Could he have visited? Yes, he was waiting for them. I don't know what it means. What should he have done? What could he have done? And maybe the answer is nothing, really, and that's what he had to go through. And okay. But whatever it means, whatever it is, it's a very complicated situation. So what happens? Here he is going through. This Yaakov doesn't know. He's mourning for years. Where is my son? What happens? Everything's the opposite. He's in Mitzrayim. He stays completely holy to such an extent that his children are able to continue Yaakov's legacy. That was one of the big problems. Reuben's sin. Reuben, after Rachel passed away, so Yaakov put his bed in her maidservant's tent. And Reuben was the son of Leah. He thought that was really not right. So he switched it. So he didn't realize that if that was the time he could have brought another Shevet. He could have brought another Neshama. He wasn't allowed to marry any other wives. That love made choice. If you're a dangerous guy, you already have four wives, no more. So we don't want you to bring these souls. Little as we want to live with you as much as possible. So he wasn't allowed to take another wife. He saw that he needs more. He needs to see what's going on. And there were two more. Menachem, fine. One more, whatever you want to say. So I guess one more. So Joseph became two. So he needed to bring down another Mishnah. But that was the time. And Reuben played around. So who asked you to do that? You shouldn't have done that. That wasn't your place to do that. So Yosef was able to bring that order down. Only Yosef. So just think how Yaakov felt. See, I thought this was a terrible destruction. It's a horrible thing. Yosef's dead, he's gone, who knows what. And what happened in the end? It was all for the very best. The punishment and the difficult for Yosef, for Yaakov, it was all exactly right to make him the ruler of Mitzrayim, to set the stage for us coming in. And he did. The Rebbe says he told them to circumcise all the Egyptians to give us food. He said, well, you have to circumcise yourselves. What do you do that for? They're not even Jewish. He said he knew who these souls were, and they were going to have us by them, these Egyptians. He knew circumcising them was going to weaken their strength over us. That's the way it's a little too close to the Kedusha. So therefore, it's going to weaken their ability to hold us, we'll be able to get out. If not for that, we wouldn't give up. So he was doing all sorts of great things that he needed to do. So he said, that's the same thing with us. We're in this terribly long exile. It's so difficult, so painful. He said, what do we do? How do we get through this? Just last and finally, it's going to end, and it'll be over and be behind us. He said, it's not only behind us. For Hashem, it's exactly the way we'll turn around and we'll say, that wasn't a tzara. That was just like Yosef. Like, it was exactly the way it had to be in order to bring the Gula. Redemption had to come through us going through this difficult exile. It's just the way it is. That's what it had to be. Everything worked out exactly right. Hashem calibrates exactly right. A human being says, I can maybe help somebody who's suffering, let's say, terrible poverty. I'm wealthier. Someone here is wealthy, right? So he can help him from now on. So here's the money. And give the right amount of money, the right way, he'll help from now on. But from his years of suffering, we cannot help him. Kids suffer, the people, and they're like, you know, they're in pain, they're traumatized, whatever. It's can't, but Hashem can. You know, that's how you have to be exactly. And then this is the way it fixes. That's the fix within the difficulties. So it's the same thing in this time. So really, on the one hand, the mourning is included within this mourning. Is everything's going to work. This is the way, this is the roadmap to bring in this meeting. This is the roadmap, this is the way you do it. But we don't see that. Right now we're in mourning, we're missing, we're pained. So we don't want to make together some kind of permanence in this. We want to, when we see it, then it'll become, right, it'll be everything we flipped around. But until we see it, we don't, you know, it's not the time to make permanence here. That's Chav. And he says, that's only that meal you eat after Chatzos. Right? The last meal before Tisha B'Av, that's the time you wash, that's the time to suicide sex, all this halachas. After Chatzos, a long day, Chatzos is, I don't know, 12:50 or something. You can eat whatever you need to eat until however long it is. And then the last minute, like it's at 7 or whatever it is, or 4, or whatever it may be, you have one last little meal. You don't have to keep these strictures. It's not like eating. Like after Chatzos, after midday, don't eat anything. If you're on the level, great. You have a piece of bread and water, and you just hold on. Like if nothing, you just went into his room and cried the whole time until the midday. Awesome. You're amazing. But not many people can do it either. He was really holding. He said he can't feel comforted the fact that Nachman's gone, except for during Chatzos at the Tisha B'Av. That works for him. So otherwise, I just can't. I have no comfort. I feel such a loss, an aching loss. So one should not go barefoot on Tisha B'Av. You should put something on, but you're not allowed to wear a leather shoe. If you touch a shoe, even a cloth shoe, with your hand, it's the same halacha as a leather shoe. You need to wash your hands. So I'm going to try to explain. So I don't remember which mahalach I did in the other presentation. I don't know. So if this is the one I used, so then I guess I'll repeat it. I don't know. But yeah, I forgot another piece. We're talking about the eggs. If you remember another thing, also, eggs are immature. It's an important, maybe the most important piece. Eggs are very immature. We have to remember, we're waiting so long for the redemption because of the immature neshamas that are not ready yet to be. We can't fix them, and we're not letting go on anybody. I'm not saying this one's gone. You're not letting go on anybody. So, on the one hand, we have to know, well, even if I'm the furthest, and whatever, we don't let go with it. Hashem is not the vater. He doesn't forego. He says, no, you're this one out. No such thing. It takes a long time, but everything is going to be the way it's supposed to be. We have to just keep going and do what we can. Everything's going to work out. So he says, that's a very, very strong, powerful comfort. We're mourning because of the neshamas that are weak and that we have to help out. Maybe that's even me. Okay, so we have to, I have to realize there is hope and just do what I can and hold on and don't give up. So on a simple level, why don't we wear shoes, right? So says, well, we need to show the shame, right? If the person spoke against the Talmud Chacham, if we spoke against someone who's on a high level, and you should not have spoken against them. So, you take off your shoes. That's on a simple level. Showing I'm doing tshuva, I want to repent. It's all right, pain. I said something so foolish. Like the Gemara says. Have a constriction, basically. We need to have a constriction to know what to do and how to do it. Not the shoes, you know, where you go, what pathway I take. I don't know. I have no protection. I have to go here, go there. I don't know what I'm doing. It's a problem. So very often you get this. So that's why do I take off my shoes when I embarrass the Chacham? Because one of the best ways of getting a clarity of knowing what to do is to have to do with someone who's a little higher, that can get something, a little light, and where I am too, shine in, help me out, figure out what to do, how to do it. So we do the same thing, Tisha. We're missing this element, this bechin of knowing what to do, knowing how to do it. I don't have this illumination. I don't know. I don't have proper protection. I'm embarrassed. I'm just sorry. I'm not focused enough, not motivated enough. I don't know what, but I'm just going all the wrong places, going around in circles. Like, well, I have to find a way to put on those shoes and be able to tread on paths that are not going to be, you know, change can hurt sometimes. If you want to change, famously, no pain, no gain. It doesn't mean too much pain, but like something. Some person doesn't want to do anything. What, I have to... my remote control isn't working. I have to get up and change the channel. It's like the worst. This is terrible. This is really bad. That's bad. And you see, people say, listen, you gotta move. You gotta do something. It's unbelievable. The laziness. It's unbelievable. People say, we don't realize how... It's just a human condition. The human being, the body, doesn't want to move. I don't want to move. It just sits. It's like perfect. TV is made in the computer. It's perfect for our human body. It's actually not the greatest thing, actually. But it feels so. I don't have to move at all. I'm occupied. I'm just sitting on that couch and finished. I'm done. It's not so great. So we need a protection to be able to deal with the different things. We go on. We can't be. I can't tread. I have to go on a little bit of a rocky road, let's say. I gotta fix things, I gotta do things. I have to have protection for my feet. I'm vulnerable. I can't, you know, what do you do? You know, try to walk 100 feet without shoes. I mean, it's not easy. Even the cloth shoes, it's not so comfortable. It's harder.
Where do you get illumination from today?
Tisha B'Av is one place, actually. One place, Tisha B'Av, taking off my shoes and saying, hello, I haven't got it. So Rav Nelson says, when you guys don't have it, you look for it, you want it, you get it. You don't need the shoes. So then you don't need the shoes. That's why Yom Kippur is you don't wear shoes. Because you're in such a high place. So you want to get there anyway, and you can't. So you take up your shoes, I don't have nothing. I'm on the ground, nothing. So then you get it. So that's what we want. We want to get it. We want to get it. Or, Tisha B'Av is supposed to be a day, you know, it's a very, very special day. It's a special opportunity. Be closer to the Shem and to really totally change direction. That's our chance. Now is the time. We have to really feel it though. To really work on it, think about it, consider it. How do I change finally go a different way? Take a different path. Oh, yeah. So why was there a Korban? They didn't listen to the people who knew better. So don't do on every level. The Chacham said, do not rebel. Forget it. It's not going to work out now. We don't have the, you know, you think the army doesn't run on its own steam. You need to, let's say you have to have the money in the bank, right? You have to have resources to pay the army, to feed the army. So there's also spiritual things you need to have in place. None of that is around. We're going to lose. Do not. Do it. And they did it. Not only did they do it, they wanted to make sure people joined their sect, so they burned all the the provisions. It was like crazy what they did. It was stupid things. They weren't listening. They came to Rabbi Yasha, speaking of throwing people out of Gush Katif. He said, well, the first question we have for you is it permitted to leave, to throw the Jews out of Gush Katif for peace or not? So Rabbi Yasha said, I'll give you a very straight answer. You have no care in the world. You couldn't give the least moment to what I have to say. It's just hype and interest for curiosity's sake. I haven't time to answer questions for curiosity's sake. I'll tell you how to deal with the shuls and move the bodies in cemeteries. That'll give you the halachas for it. But what I have to say for sensationalism, I mean, nobody cares. If you cared and you'd ask me, I can answer the question. And that's what kind of people they are. People that are so smart. They don't ask him, like, what does he know? He doesn't know anything. Like the Rebbe says in the story, you know, the gardener, there's the gardener, he's like the big man, the one who's in charge of everything, who understands everything. Everyone thinks he's crazy. What does he know? He doesn't know anything. He doesn't understand anything. He doesn't know what's going on. that's a little bit about the shoes. There might have been a little overlap, I don't know. But actually, yeah, we need to have direction of where I'm going, how I'm going, where, what to do, what not to do, and be able to deal with being sober, like bearing the like step by step to get where I need to go. You know, there might be a rock on the road. There might be something you have to go over. Under. You can't just sit. You have to move. You have to move. You have to try to move. Help me move. Let me start to move. Start to change. You can do so much. Well, let's do it. That's all about just shoes. It says on Tisha B'Av, one should not wash. Even putting his feet in water is improper. So when you wash your hands in the morning, you only wash until here, right? The joint. The end of the joint. Not the wrist. If a person had dirt on himself, they let him wash off. If a person wakes up with tears in his eyes or problems with his eyes, some kind of filth or whatever it is, crusted, whatever it may be, he's allowed to wash that off. Someone whose eyes are not well, he's got an illness, he needs to wash them in cold water for refuah. It's also, it's health, like, for his health, he's allowed to do that.
We're allowed to wipe our face with like almost dry fingers, though, aren't
we? Yeah, if you need it. Yeah, that's true. That's the thing, too. If you need to cook something, you wash it to cook it. You don't not to wash it. It's hygienic, because it's not for me, it's for the meat or whatever. For them, for the meat. For us, probably not for the meat. But actually, if whatever I'm cooking, that's what I need to wash off. That's the gossip, don't you think? The Kochayim explains I guess we'll do the next sif also a little bit because it's the same idea, he discusses in his own way. Fine. We'll continue for another second, I guess, and we'll stop in the middle of this the next sif. It says relations is prohibited on Tisha B'Av. A person can't even sleep in the same bed with his wife, or you shouldn't touch it all at night. Be careful. You take something for a hand at night because of, be careful of not falling. You don't want to fall. This is very easy to fall. Easy running. Fine. So this is, so the Kochayim brings an interesting medrash. The medrash says, or sages say, he says there are three things our sages say which are like, sort of like the next world. Shabbos, going into a bath, bathing can be very, it's very relaxing, very good, and relations. Those are the three things. So this is, therefore, we sort of, this is the time when everything's mysterious. Everything's missing. We don't have, connecting to the next world is not so easy for us now. We Tisha B'Av, on the contrary, the way we do it is by yearning. So where in the world is Hashem? Where are you, Hashem? This is all supposed to make a person wake up and yearn. That's why Rabbi Nachman says, kinos, the very word for the Lamentations, kinos, is the same letters as tikkun, which means rectification. Because fixing by lamenting, where are you, Hashem? That fixes the problem. That's what the Rebbe says. So you have to, so that's why in the Gemara it's Teku, he says Teku is missing a Nun. You need to put that Nun in, the 50 gates of understanding, you put the Nun in, it becomes Tikkun also. So then you have this Bechina of Kinos have to become Tikkun. So I'm not doing things that are made in Habor now. So that's why Shabbos just kills the whole thing. Shabbos is the day after. Shabbos is way above. But washing, it's just too distracting. It's not supposed to be distracting, it's supposed to be able to focus. And the same relations for sure. He's totally, he's not here at all. He's somewhere else. So, both of these things, the person is careful to stay with. So Sifchot Gimel continues. On Tisha B'Av, you don't say, Hashem did us all of our needs. Because we go barefoot. Sorry. Since we go barefoot, So how do you say Shasali Kol Tzorchi? Now, first of all, the bracha Shasali Kol Tzorchi does not only mean shoes, it's also shoes. I'll say this, shoes are very important. But it's also shoes, but it also means to thank you Hashem for giving me everything I need. It's a very important bracha. Everything we need, Hashem sends us. So those who say one doesn't make this bracha on Tisha B'av, those who say one doesn't make this bracha on Tisha B'av, like the Ben Shchai says, they say, you don't have all your tzrochim. Since you don't have it, I mean, I don't have it, so what's the point of saying this bracha now? Others would say it at night when they put their shoes on, but the Mishnah Berurah of Paschal is like the other authorities hold that you do say this bracha on Tisha B'av, because this day specifically is what we need today. So therefore we do say, and Mishnah Berurah says that's the custom, is we do say Shasali Kol Tzorchi. That's the Mishnah Berurah again. The Ben Ish Chai says not like that. Shouldn't say Shalom on Tisha B'av. Good morning, anything like this. Shouldn't send a gift either. Food or clothing, just not the right time. The person's poor, you can give for tzedakah, you can send him something. You're not allowed to do work, whether at night or by day in Tisha B'av. Better to milk the cows through a non-Jew, and if not, you can milk them on your own. Of course, no. Depression is not allowed in the Tisha B'av. That's true. It's certainly true. It's certainly true. It's not easy. It's not so easy. I will admit that easy it's not. Definitely, you have to cover it with a lot of thought, very strong. He says there's 39 melachos. 39 melachos. On Shabbos, we refrain from them. Oh, during the week, there's 39 melachos. You need to do them to pick up a tal brachos and tal kolos. You have 39 melachos, which are like kind of a curse. There are melachos which are a blessing. If you do melachos, we remember Hashem, we'll disconnect to Hashem. So, but how are you supposed to connect to Hashem with your melachos? And this is the day when we remember Tisha B'av and everything on high is stopped. Even the beginning of Av is supposed to be we diminish. Now, he says, only if you're missing something, you're going to lose something, then it's okay. Dover Obed is privileged. You don't have to take a loss if you have to do malacha. If I have to work, I work. He said, so since Dover Obed, what's going to disappear? He said, that's the other side. He said, so you can take a loss. And it's going to, and it may, listen, it's going to continue up to Shiva when I take a loss. It's not the. It's not a $2 loss. But there's a loss. It's a hit. It's hard for him. He doesn't have to do that. That much, he just makes his best effort. It's not exactly, is it really forbidden 100% according to everyone? It's better not to. And a person doesn't see a single bracha from what his works. The work he does. He doesn't see any blessing from it. So he should definitely avoid it if it's at all possible. That's the Makor Chaim. So on Tisha B'av, you put on your talis and tefillin during. If it's Tamanashi during the morning, say Shema, then go to Shul and down with the Tzibur. Those who put on Talis and Tefillin only in the afternoon are mistaken, says the Ben Ish Chai. We do not hold this way. But some, that's what he says. Sfaradim, maybe they do, depends who. So before, not everyone. It's not so clear from anywhere, but he's saying, doing it in your house, maybe. So that's a mistake.
You want me to
drop my talis cut and you can make before the toast. See, unless you word it not. Check this. Take a second. Hey, baby, baby, baby. Yeah, bloody bracha, you're right. No, yeah, but if you took it off at night, if you took it off at night, some say you do make a bracha. It's not so clear. Not so clear you don't make a bracha if you took it off at night. If you wore it, it's not so clear. It's not clear you don't. It's not so clear. Hold up from the bench, Chai, say what he said.
So for Ashkenazi, do you put in toss and fill in the morning or in the afternoon?
Afternoon.
Yeah.
So we'll see in a minute.
If you're putting on you every day, you're not putting a bracha in the morning, right? When it comes to afternoon,
it's a shaila whether you make a bracha. It's a shaila whether you make a bracha in the morning. Mr. Shabu is not so clear that you don't make a bracha in the morning. Some say you do.
If you don't do it in the morning, you should do that in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Even though you are,
it's not so clear that you can. It's a whole clear. Can you do? Let's say you want to wear tough, you don't want to make a bracha like that. Here, Bob Kerry. But he's careful not to make a bracha before we're going to make it. I don't really make it, right? Does he make a bracha on a taz before he puts on or not? He doesn't make a bracha on a taz cut, and some say it's a problem to go taz cut without a bracha. Some so I'm more mental. It's not only totally a mat, but it's partially, it's part of that. You have a different problem. How can you put on a taz cut without wearing without making a bracha?
What do you do to get dressed
before you're going to make a bracha, because the suffix whether you're allowed to make a bracha.
You might allow me to make a bracha much later, right?
Because I have no choice. Because I don't know if I'm allowed, it's not the time. So if I get you up to 3 in the morning, I'm flying to America, Honolulu, Uman, Mezhbush, I don't know, wherever I'm going, right? So it's 3 a.m. now, it's the night. I put on my new towel's cotton. I can't make a bracha. So what do? I wait until time, I can make a bracha. Then I have a choice, not because of my. It's not because I wouldn't if it's time. Anyway, it's a shayla. I don't remember the bottom. Mr. Brook comes out as a shayla. I don't remember what the chronim said afterwards. I don't know. I always wear my taz cotton throughout the night, almost always. So I don't have.
Also, take it off.
Maybe you have to have a sechadas. The shayla is a baya.
Take it off.
No, definitely not. Unless you have in mind that your bracha a day ago was only supposed to last for one day. Then when I take it off, it's gone. Can I? I mean, it's a little bit bracha shenet tzricha. The few those that say you can continue the same bracha, it's a bracha shenet tzricha. Mr. Brewer doesn't say to do that. You should have another talis cut. It was on you. What is sleeping up and everything? Again, it could be. At least it's a suffix. The suffix's not good enough. It could be. It could be he does say that. If I remember right, he does say such a thing. But if I made the bracha on my talis cotton and I had in mind it's only for 24 hours, and instead of a Birkat Torah, maybe it's the same thing. I think it's a Birkat Torah. But only that 24 hours, I can actually, maybe this might fight Sitzis. He says such a story, maybe by Sitzis, I don't remember. He does say such a story. Maybe it's such a story. Some say the parashas, the four parashas, the planet, some don't. Each one should do their minute. The night of Tisha B'Av, you only say Tikkun Rachel. The Lord Mafriach Chavashkel says, you only say Tikkun Rachel. Even though you say, Tikkun Rachel by day. Also, Erev Tisha B'Av, you can say by day. Erev Tisha B'Av, you can say Tikkun Chatzos. By day the Tikkun Rachel, but the night of Tisha B'Av is only Tikkun Rachel. Fine. So, Talis and Tefillah in the afternoon, part of the union of the afternoon is we know it's a very, very, very high special time in the afternoon. The afternoon of Tisha B'Av is a very, very powerful, powerful time. The Tzaddik says that it's really not the Tzaddik, there's a Siva Shalom, it's a little differently maybe, which is that our pnimius connection to Hashem, our connection to Hashem, the Rebbe talks about this idea that our connection to Hashem was revealed with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That was the time when it was revealed our tremendous connection to Hashem, because now it became like, we're just like any other nation, and we're not at all. We are Hashem's chosen nation. But it took the destruction to see that, like where, you know, that was a clarification. It was like, no, we're still the chosen nation, we're still with Hashem. That's one of the reasons. There are many, there's a lot of other reasons why this particular time is a very, very special high hard time. Very, very hard time. And until then, Tisha B'Av was really, I mean, it's Klipas, like Ty's going to say soon, I don't know if we'll see it or not, but like, I believe he says soon here, or if not, it's Yom Kippur, or in Chazer Shadayim. He says that we don't wash our full hands on Tisha B'Av because we can't get rid of the Klipas anyway. It's not like a regular day, it's a very hard day, but later, I can do it. Talis and Tefillin are very high tikkun. I really can't do it earlier. That's why I keep Kabbalah, you should, it's not the right tikkun, it's messing up Shabbos, it's really not the right week. But we can't. We can't. This particular time, we can't. So Rav Nosson says also something very powerful. He says that Mashiach is born during this time, the afternoon of Tisha B'Av. That's the time we can manage bring the Gula and we can bring down the light, the Or, of what's going on. It's just a long discussion about it. But the kids, that's what, one of the things that we find it's fun. Yeah, it's hard to get rid of the regular klipa. So it's not.
But there's not special ones that are just Tisha B'Av ones.
It's the same old, same old. Yeah. Just Tisha B'Av, we can't get rid of them. they're a little too strong. They all come. No, they're not. It says, during Ma'ariv and Shacharis, you say the wholesome Shalom, not like some people who tend to be Mekatze. You don't Mekatze. You say the whole thing. That's what I say also. The Chazan could say Shalom Rav on Tisha B'Av in their place. That's what they used to do. A shorter Shem Shalom. In Baghdad, they say Hazinu instead of Shir Sayyam. It's a Musa there. He said, I also didn't change that. But I say Shir Sayyam. I don't say Hazinu. He said, Shir Hazinu, I say after the Amida. Because those who are smart, they do like I do. You don't change around the spokes. Even though that was the minig in Baghdad at this time. Yep. One of the big tikkunim, we know that one of the big problems, the Chidah says, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash had to do with what? It had to do with no ability to have Avos Chinam, like Sinas Chinam. The Kadda is Abbas Chinam, that the Chidah says. More a lot of places, the idea, I don't have the ability to see the good in my friends, I just can't figure it out. And a lot of it has to do with also taking responsibility for my part in things. That's what Kamta and Bar Kamta. The Marshal asks, why do you mention Kamta? What did Kamta do? Bar Kamta was out of his mind. And they threw him at the party, okay. He goes and tells him, he gets the Roman Empire to try to kill all the Jews. What is he, crazy? What did Kamta do already? Okay, he's a jerk, fine. So let's say, probably he had reasons why he wanted him out of there. So the Marshal says, Bar Kamta was the son of Kamta. Kamta didn't teach his son properly. You're also responsible. He's very, again, take responsibility. You know, I could have done this better. Could have been better. It's me. And again, I have no etzah. I have no shoes. I can't. Hashem, you could do it. And that brings the Or. And that fixes the problem. I can't do it. You could do it. I can't. I messed up. Royally messed up. I have a bar kamsa. What now? You can help me. I can help it. I have to take responsibility and say, that's the bachin of shalom. You have to have shalom here. There's no shalom. Remember, no shalom. At least in the katzer. If we're not makatzer, Musa during the shosiyam, we wake up, wake ourselves up and say, you know, I have to make sure there's shalom between man and his fellow man. I have to do my part to make sure that I'm doing all the great mitzvahs that I have to do. It's a Doraisa, it's a Torah commandment. I have to really try to love my neighbor as myself, and especially a person's wife. And myself, the Doraisa, the Chaim Vital says that that's the biggest tikkun, is a man and his wife. That's the mitzvah of Yehatra Chamocha, it's with the person's wife especially. That's the main mitzvah of Yehatra Chamocha. To the person who's ill, if he eats Minchik Dola, he says Nachem instead of Ritzei and doing the mansion during benching. And he says, finishes off, Baruch Hashem, and Nachem Tzion Ben Yerushalayim, just like we do during Mincha. So that's the minig. Yeah. So sick person. Rav Chaim says, very, very bekitzer, he says that there is something that's called a zivik tmidi. There is a, in order to have life and vitality, we need to be connected on high. So when we mess up, so there's no connection on high, things are separated. So how are we alive? So we have, we're alive because Hashem makes me close to the community. As living community, there's perpetual union. The Ramchal is the reflection that the human being is thought. So it's always thinking, it's mind, it's always thinking. And there's a perpetual union that gives life even when we don't deserve it, even when we deserve who knows what. She said, that's when a person's sick. On Tisha B'Av, he eats. Because we're saying, we're not making union with Hashem. We don't bring in Hashem because of our ma'asim. That's true, but when you there's someone ill, they need to eat. They need to, because there is a Zikr Tmidi, he can't survive. So survival there always will be. That's how the Qur'an explains. Why is a sick person allowed to eat? Why? How does it work? If there's a sikhana, he's allowed to eat and he must eat. Some people wash their hands after night on Motzi Tisha B'Av because we didn't do our washing properly during Tisha B'Av. He said, but that's not the halakha. You're not obligated to do that at all. You have to be careful Motzi Tisha B'Av to do Kishta B'Av. He said with a lot of joy, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayel. I just said Rav Nassim says, after Tisha B'Av, that's the time of the Nechama. After Tisha B'Av, that's the time when everything turns around for the better. That's what I'm talking about. That's a sweetening. See the greatness and the splendor with which Hashem takes in every Jew, every Jewish soul. So that's why we have this beautiful Haftorahs. No more Din Aveiros. We're done. Until the Chatzos the next day, of course, because that's when the Mishnah was burning. It seemed like we were completely, utterly without any, without anything. He said, but that is the answer. That's the solution. The solution is the mourning. And when I mourn, so I'm making proper preparation for Shoshana, and I'm ready to connect and bring in the comforting. That's what Harold Nussman explained. So that shows our greatness to Hashem. It's brought down that a person's supposed to get up a chatzos after Tisha B'Av, big time. So Tisha B'Av gives us the koch to see that maybe once a week, maybe I can do things that I think are impossible. I realize I'm a different person. The minute I'm really changed, really different, I did what I was supposed to do. I made the tikkun I needed to make. Now I have to bring into my regular life something a little higher. That's very much a theme. All the different Mechilah Matovim, all Shabbos, everything's supposed to make me a little bit better. Because if you do a little bit, it does tremendous things. They used to have a Seder. They woke the Bachram up to learn it, I think, 5 minutes a day. 2 a.m, 5 minutes, then go back to bed. To see what you can do with 5 minutes. How precious are my 5 minutes? Shem Shalom, Bizochet, little things. The little things are the most important things. Grab hold of the little things till we can do the big things. That's a big part of Tisha.